World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I don't know if I'm going to get to it, but I got one. I got one unleashed and ready to roll here on this Flea Flicker Friday. And as many of you know, I try to make Flea Flicker Fridays a little bit different. I like to talk about some of the things that you want to talk about. But I'm loaded for bear today. And I just got to get something off my chest here real quickly with this whole regard. We were talking about it here before we went into the, before we went live. We get in the queue. Oh, here, the queue this morning. Listen, if you want to join the queue, maybe I'll explain this every once in a while. Some of you are watching on Facebook. Maybe you're watching on YouTube. I think we're still on Periscope. We're at a lot of different places, and some of you are probably picking the show up and maybe even at CoachDaveLive.com because that's where it's streamed. That's where it's housed. That's where it will always be at CoachDaveLive.com. But if you want to join what we call the queue, that's the group that gets in here every day and dialogues and asks questions. Yep, it's very, very simple. Sheldon, take us to CoachDaveLive.com right now real quickly so people can see because I want to walk you through this. I get emails every once in a while from folks saying, hey, how do I get in? I'd love to get in. How do I get in? Well, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. You go to CoachDaveLive.com. Just go to the homepage. There you are, Sheldon. Folks, do you see right there on the where it says join the queue? So you just click on that. You click on join the queue, and then our producer invites you in. Now, you need to have a microphone, and you need to have earplugs or some way to be able to hear. You can do it on a computer. You can do it on a phone. When you come in, you immediately are in what we call the queue. You're stacked up in the queue. And if you want to say something, you unmute your microphone. You click on that little red button, and boom, you come in, and you get to be part of the show. So that's how you join the show, and more of you are welcome to come and jump in here. We got about 35 of us in here right now. I don't really know how many it holds. Sometimes they say 50, but sometimes we get over 50. We have a lot of people that are listening that are not in the queue. If that makes sense. That's some of you right now. You're listening and you're not in the queue. Well, go to CoachDaveLive.com, click on the green join the queue, follow the prompts, and next thing you know, you're going to be in here and dialoguing. Being able to ask questions. I got to get this off my chest. Tacit approval. Tacit approval. You guys know what that is? You know, it means to give something tacit approval. It means to wink and nod at it. Say, all right, go ahead. Without saying, go ahead. Tacit approval is you give people the impression, go ahead. That's all right. Go ahead. That's tacit approval. And I'm watching what's going on in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I haven't been watching it. I mean, I'm aware of what's going on in Minnesota. The second grade, in my opinion, right wing watches for you guys out there. Greatest, second, third, fourth, top 10 greatest hoax ever perpetrated is that white people don't like black people. Or how about this one? Only white people are racist. I've never been black. When I look at what's going on in Minneapolis, I can tell you that a lot of black people don't like white people. I'm not allowed to say that, but that's the truth. And the greatest lie ever told is this, that there are different races. Folks, there's only one race. It's the human race. There are different ethnic groups. There are different genealogies. But there's only this human race. Racism was a made-up word created by the CIA to bring social dissent, destruction. You see it. It's that, right? Division. Divide and conquer. The oldest trick in the books. And nobody has the courage to say it. As soon as something happens, as soon as the first torch was thrown in Minneapolis, we gave, listen to me, white America gave tacit approval to blacks. George W. Bush called it the the tyranny of low expectations. No, something, the soft bigotry of low expectations. See, there's something wrong in a culture and a society where, number one, black people think they have the right to riot.
Amen.
Something wrong with that. And number two, there's something wrong in a society where white people give tacit approval to black people who go
Amen.
And riot. Meaning this. Now, you can call me racist. I don't care. You call me whatever you want to. There's something seriously wrong. See, here is the bigotry of low expectations. When we white people have been programmed by the society that black people are just rioters. They're just animals. And when they go and they burn down Minneapolis, white people, here's the racism, folks. White people have been taught, well, that's just what they do. They're just really just deep down inside. That's what they are deep inside. And they've been oppressed so long. You can't really argue with them out there doing that, burning everything down, like burning down auto parts stores and tearing down Targets and going in and raping the stores. Like, that brings back that dead guy. See, that is the ultimate, in my opinion, that's the ultimate racism. Number one, that blacks think they have the right to do that. And number two, that we tacitly approve their right to be able to do that. Anybody want to disagree with that? And see, as long as we continue to sit back and say, well, they're frustrated. Yeah, let me.
Hey, Coach. Say I'm white. You want, brother. I'm here. Anyone got any problem to say, I'm here?
Yeah, see, they think you're white anyway, Vinny. It don't matter. They think you're a white plant. Listen to me, folks. My family lineage is white trash. I see them right now. I go to Walmart. I see them everywhere. You do too. White trash. In fact, I hear people call them white N-words. See, I can't even say that word. That is unbelievable, isn't it? That I can't even use that word, N-I-G-G-A-R. I can't even use that word. What the?
I don't know why. Why can't I?
Hey, Vinny, let me finish, all right? So I walk into Walmart and I look around. In fact, you can go right now and you can Google Walmart customers. Do it. Do it for me, Sheldon. Pictures of Walmart customers. And we all look at these pictures of Walmart customers. Why? Because they're white trash. They're white trash, folks. They're white trash. And so we get pictures and we laugh at them. Ha, 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 ha. Look at these people. We're laughing. This is a form of racism and bigotry when we're laughing at the appearance of white trash people. But nobody will ever call that racism or whatever. Click on some of those, Vinny, or Sheldon. Click on some of them. Just go from picture to picture. These are Walmart people. These aren't black people, right, folks? These are white people. These are white trash people. I came out of white trash. I came out of it. Out of Appalachia, out of Melungeon. I was one of those. Are you with me? Are you with me? These are human beings. They're not black. They're white trash. They're white trash. And so we've been programmed. Why are they white trash? Because they're not at the same, look at that, same upper echelon as the rest of us are. This Walmart is a class of Americans. There are a class of Americans that live like this. And it doesn't matter what the skin color is. Although in Walmart, it's usually going to be a white guy. Usually going to be a white guy. Usually. Right? Now, is this racism? What if we put up pictures like this of black guys? Oh, my goodness. Right? Right? So, again, it's a soft bigotry of low expectations. And the fact that that guy got killed, I feel bad he got killed. I feel the police. I don't know. See, again, I'm not going to fall in line and say, like everybody else says, this guy ought to be hung. He ought to be charged with murder. That's why we have a justice system. Let the justice system work. Hillary Clinton is still walking around after being responsible for the deaths of at least four men in Benghazi. She's still walking around, and I don't hear anybody calling for her to be dead, right? Are you with me? With me? So we got to be very, very careful here, folks, with falling in line because I could show you right now. Hey, Sheldon, this didn't make much news. See if you can find, Sheldon, Google black man beats old person in nursing home. See if anybody rioted over this. Did you guys see this? Black man beats old people, person in nursing home. This just happened last week. This last week, this happened. Let's see where we get here. The video surface of Joe Hayden, the black man. Go to the next one. Nursing home patient beaten in brutal attack caught on video. You guys see this? Has this been on the news? Are people rioting over this? No, they're not. Why are they not? Because we are dealing with a warning, graphic content. We're dealing with a narrative. Here's a young 20-year-old black man put into a nursing home in Michigan, caught beating up an 80-year-old man in the nursing home. Why is this not on the news? Why are people in Michigan not rioting and burning down Walmart and burning down Target? Why? Because it's the bigotry, soft bigotry of low expectation. Can I say it? Society has been trained to expect this behavior out of a black man. That's the bigotry. That's the bigotry. See, that's the bigotry. And society has also been trained. Look at him beating on that 80-year-old man, 20-year-old black guy. Can you imagine if the role was reversed? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? So we got to be smart enough to see the programming that's going on in this culture and society. I got to get it off my chest. Folks, stop with the race card. Stop with the race card already. There's only one race, and it's a human race. Or as I like to say, two races, those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. Go ahead, Vinny. Now come in and give your 4 cents worth.
Coach, once again, I was being obnoxious on purpose. I want to see exactly how much I could get away with as a black guy up here, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
But the simple point is, race war, you guys are stupid. It's never going to work, right? Leo Max Frank, the trial of Leo Max Frank proves it. I'll get into it another day, not today. But you guys research that case and you'll understand why people and black people have no differences. None.
Joe Biden, how about Joe Biden? Joe Biden said, you ain't black. You don't vote for a Democrat, you ain't black. Huh? Are you kidding me?
Oh, loaded Jesus, I ain't black no more, coach.
Can you imagine Donald Trump saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't white? Can you imagine the uproar that we would hear? Huh? Folks, it's all game. It's all game. It's all programming. It's all program. Yeah, come on in.
You know, it's really ridiculous, but the fact is that you mentioned our justice system. I wish we had a justice system. We have a legal system. They've abandoned all concept of justice and fairness long ago. And our legal system has put their seal of approval on what you were just talking about. Yes. Our legal system says white people can hate black people and it's a crime. Says right. Black people can hate white people and it's justified.
Amen. Hey, Vinny, do you know any black people that hate whites?
Tons of them. And they're all stupid. I tell them so each and every time.
But it is true, right? There is such a thing as black racism.
Huh? Absolutely.
That's white men can't jump.
Yeah.
What? The people at Walmart. The people at Walmart, huh? Those are white people. That's racism, is it not? Huh?
Absolutely.
So, folks, we got to quit hiding behind it, quit worrying about it, right? We got to quit worrying about it. And the problem in the black community, JR, the problem in the black community is there are no daddies. There aren't any daddies. And you watch the music and they talk about my baby daddy and they talk about all that, you know. 70% of people in the black community, 70% don't have a father in the home, right? See, there's a ethics and moral problem in the black community. There isn't a white community, too. Don't get me wrong. There isn't a white community as well. But I tell you this, you take the daddy out of the home, you have institutionalized poverty. Doesn't matter whether it's black or white. You got institutionalized poverty for the most part. And I would see what you're seeing going on. See, when that guy got died there in Minneapolis, people go out and steal big screen TVs and they go out and steal stuff. Like somehow they're getting even. How are they getting even? How is that helping that guy? See, but again, we approve of it. Say, oh well, that's just what they do. That's just what. Vinny, doesn't that offend you? When people say, well, that's just what black people do. They just steal. They just riot and rob and steal and kill. That's just what black people do.
Coach, it's give and take. They're givers and takers. They've turned black people into takers. Takers. And all they do is take. All they do is take. Aren't you tired of people just taking all the time and not giving back?
Now, Vinny, hang on. See, that's a stereotype because most blacks are not just takers.
Of course
not. Most blacks are productive citizens.
But what do you think it is, Coach?
If you're a productive black citizen and you have the common sense to not be on the Democrat plantation, then they say you're not black, right? So in other words, to be black, you have to be poor, stupid, and willing to loot. That's what, according to the media, that's what a black person is, right? Right wing watch. If you take this out of context, I'm going to sue you for every cent that you have. You understand that? I hope you listen, Kyle. You guys, I'm not fooling. If you take this out of context and post that on that thing, whoever it is, all you guys, I'll come after you. Okay, promise you. Anybody?
Hey,
coach. Yeah.
Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, coach.
Yes.
Let me tell you before I found out how dysfunctional the church was back in 2004. I was coaching at Hernando High School. I took a group of guys up to Alabama. Bobby Bowden was putting on a mini camp up there for quarterbacks and receivers. I got to ride on a golf cart for 45 minutes with Coach Bowden. Hmm. And I said, Coach, I said, you've done so much stuff in your life. I said, what is it that you really are excited about when you get to do something? He said, Coach, he said, no matter where we're at, Tokyo, Japan, Oklahoma, Texas, he said, when we go to church as a team, I love that. He said, that's what I love out of everything in my career. I love that more than anything. Hmm. When I got back to Hernando High, Coach, this is where I found out how dysfunctional churches are in America. I gathered our team together. First started out, I picked out 11 churches, black churches, white churches, Roman Catholic Church, Episcopalian, Pentecostal, Baptist, across the gamut. I just picked it, and we rolled with it. First started out, you know, we had like 12 guys coming. When we got midway through the season, I had 55 coming. So anyway, I found out how dysfunctional our churches are whenever, because we had a mixed team. You know, we had black kids, white kids, we had Chinese, we had everybody on the team. Mm-hmm. We would go into an all-black church, and you could feel the tension in there. We'd go into an all-white church, you could feel the tension in there. Coach, this stuff falls at the platform of the dysfunctional church in America. It's the most segregated bunch of people I've ever witnessed in my life. And I thank God at our church, we're mixed. We have black folk, white folk. We got everybody there, Chinese folk. And I'm proud of that. But I'm telling you, as a whole, the most segregated place in America is the dysfunctional church. Every denomination, you can just name it. They're all corrupt. They're all involved in this mess. Shame on all these denominations in America.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's unity, buddy. That's for sure. I'm with you. I'm with you, Alan. God bless you, man. Somebody else tried to get in. Go ahead.
Coach, is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
A week before that incident, they had an incident, a situation at their local mall where they threw a white child, not a man, child, over the balcony. Nothing happened with that.
Yeah. So Joseph, we have a rogue cop problem in America, not a racism problem. We have a rogue cops. There are a lot of
coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had multiple offenses before this. I don't know why he wasn't fired way before that.
Yeah.
So he had I woke up this morning and I saw a video out there, and it looks like a St. Paul, Minnesota officer who had police tear gas riot and put the hood on an umbrella and went around and busted out the windows at an auto zone, and his wife ratted him out. Now, and they put the video of his face with that mask on. You see the live video, brother. And I tell you what, I would not be surprised if this is not true, because what Larry said, you have said it. We have a legal system, not a justice system. Because if we did have a justice, you're right. Hillary Clinton would have been prosecuted. James Comey would have been prosecuted. A lot of these people would have been prosecuted.
Absolutely. So, listen, I don't want to get bogged down on this too much, okay? I don't want to. But listen, we have to. What a scourge this is. What a scourge. And we can't.
But, Coach. We saw the writing on the wall. Brother, we have been murdering innocent babies, and we're numb to this.
Half of them are black, too, aren't they, Dale? You don't hear racism in Planned Parenthood?
Most of them, yeah. More babies.
Yep, you don't hear
babies
that.
In New York are murdered. In New York City, more black babies are aborted than there are black babies born.
See, that's the soft bigotry of low expectations again, because we assume that every black woman who goes to the abortion clinic is poor and can't afford it. You tell me that's not bigotry. I hear that all the time when I'm at the board. Well, what do you expect the poor women to do? They can't even feed them. Let me tell you something. They ain't poor. They've been fornicating, okay? They're at the abortion clinic, not because they're poor. They're there because they've been screwing around, okay? And we give them excuse and say, well, you know how it is, right? Black people are poor. You tell me, soft bigotry of low expectations, right? It's everywhere we look. They want us to believe blacks are lower class citizens. That's what they want us to believe. So you get somebody comes along like, I can't believe my brain. The young black girl, what's her name? Owens, Candace Owens. They hate Candace Owens. They hate Larry Elder. They hate,
Ben Carson.
Yeah, they hate those guys. Why? Because they don't look like they want us to think blacks are. Blacks are rioters and animals and poor. That's what they want us to believe. And then when we believe it, we're mad that they're mad we believe it. I'm going to shift gears here on you real quick. I don't want to get down on it. It's good. Wait a minute. It's a Flea Flicker Friday. I'll hold this. Anybody else want to flick something out there?
Tacit approval, Coach.
Tacit approval.
And you mentioned something on one of your earlier shows about how someone said they ought to have a puppy out by abortion clinic.
Yes.
Well, I've been talking to some people about that, and even talking about it convicts people. They cannot come untwisted from the knots of a baby and a puppy. Just and talking then, about it.
Mark, how about this? Mark, paint this one in their head, because this is what part of the plan was to do. Are you listening, folks? Take a dog who's pregnant and out in front of the abortion clinic, cut the puppy out of the mother. What did you think of that, Mark?
Well, Coach, even that probably wouldn't go well, but take that same, that analogy was just coming to my mind, but take that dog that is pregnant to the vet and say, I want that puppy inside of her aborted because that's too much stress on the mother.
Yeah.
Brother, you will have every PETA coming down on you.
No, that was part of the plan, Dale. Mark, I walked on you. I'll pull you back in here in a second. See, that was part of the plan to go out there and abort a puppy out of the mommy. And then when they come in and arrest you, say, well, wait a minute. That's my dog. She was raped. She was raped. She was just out for a walk and she got raped. And she didn't want to have those puppies. And by the way, she can't afford them. Just use all of those pro-choice arguments on a puppy. Can you imagine, folks? Can you imagine the outrage? It would be national. It'd be international news, and they would prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law because you're saying that dog is my property, and that baby inside that dog belongs to me, and I don't want that puppy. I don't want it. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm just sitting here thinking about this. It's absolutely crazy. I remember that news story about a raccoon getting caught in a boat, and after they were fishing, they saw it, and they tried to do stuff with it, but it jumped overboard. And everyone ended up, these guys were fined and all this. It came down on them because the raccoon was in their boat and didn't know it. And I'm thinking, even if you had a chicken out in front of a clinic or a bucket of worms, a bug, and you stomped on a bug every time someone went by, eventually you're going to make someone mad when you kill one of these little bitty bugs or something. How can we be so off track with a human life? And they justify everything away, tacit approval. Right. They just turn their head.
Hey, Mark, you know what the ironic thing is? Is life in our law has so much more value in animals than it does our laws. For example,
amen.
You just try getting in a boat and dragging a net and go getting some shrimp when they got eggs in their tails. See how hard they come down on you.
That's right.
They've written strict laws to keep people from aborting baby shrimp.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Larry. You can't kill an eagle, can you? Can't an eagle egg? Try to get an eagle's egg, or you guys are with me, right, folks? This is what we've all been programmed on all this stuff. We've all been programmed. Yeah.
A quick question, and I'll lay it out the best I can. What I don't understand, and for lack of a better word, the upward mobile black person, college, job, moves to the suburbs, has a nice home, You know, just seems to be normal, just like you and me, you know what I'm saying? But he will very seldom take on the urban environment of what's going on within his community. He always, he very seldom will side with law and order, very seldom will side with, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but it's, he embraces his prosperity, but hangs with the thugs.
Yeah. Well, that's a cult. That's cultural pressures, I think, Roger. Yeah. That's the only thing I can explain. The idea to, it's like the old crabs in the bucket. A young urban black man trying to make it out of the thug life gets pulled by the rest of the crabs back into it. Acting white, they call it, Vinny. Isn't that what it is? Oh, you're just acting white. So that, what do you need to know even more than that? What does a white person act like? Those people right. in the Walmart?
Right.
Those are white people.
You know, Dave, you laid out your family heritage, and I always tell people this. Here's what I want from my neighbor. I don't want a sofa on the porch. I want them to have a job. And finally, I want them to cut their grass. I could care less of their skin color.
Amen.
I just don't want a sofa on the porch.
Roger, that's most people, man. That's most people. That's where we live. Yeah.
Okay, 2 points there. Where are most of the abortion clinics, where are they built, or where are they?
In the black community.
The same place. Where is all the drugs being bought? Where is most of the drugs being bought and sold?
Or Chad, where do we think most of them are, right? Well, where have we been programmed to think where they are, right?
Right, okay. Because, hey guys, most of the drugs are going to Wall Street.
Yes. I get Chad's point, right? We're programmed to think inner city, blacks, crazy people, drugs, murders. Right? That's the way we're programmed, see? And then when we point out what we've been programmed, we're racist. It's a trap, man.
Hey, can I jump in here and reframe the question?
Sure, Bobby.
Just bear with me. Give me about 2 minutes, all right? 1893. Over 300 Indian men, women, and kids were murdered, shot down for dancing by the American troops. 1973, Wounded Knee number 2, Pine Ridge Reservation, led by Russell Means, was in the movie Last of the Mohicans. 72 hostages were taken, shots fired back and forth with the National Guard, and I think one or two politicians were taken. Mm-hmm. The term redneck came out of eastern Kentucky when the coal miners stood up against the big coal company powers. National Guard brought in. They tied the red bandanas around their necks to identify each other that were fighting against the powers and the thugs and the National Guard, hence the term rednecks. The bonus marches, World War One veterans. There's two or three other examples that I wanted to give that's just quickly slipping my mind across within the last 60, 70 years of standing up. So the reason I use those examples is I'm not justifying the madness that's taking place, because as we're talking, I'm seeing what happened across the night here in my home state of Kentucky. You got seven people shot rioting out of Louisville. And it's spread into cities across the nation. I'm not justifying all that at all. But my question is, I'm using these examples to ask the question, how far do you go to how big of a temper tantrum do you throw across, be it the rednecks out of eastern Kentucky or what we're seeing now or the Indians on Pine Ridge Reservation? How big of the temper tantrum do you throw, and when does it stop? And once you cross that, the Rubicon, into throwing that temper tantrum, it's almost out of control. I mean, are you guys kind of understanding my question?
Sure, Bobby. Hey, Bobby, let me ask another question that's going to piggyback off of it, although it's different. Who went to jail for the Waco massacre? Who went to jail for that? And wasn't that a bunch of white religious people that were killed there in Waco, in Branch Davidian? Janet Reno go to jail? Anybody go to jail? Bill Clinton go to jail over that, right? So again, it's the bigotry of expectations. I'm with you, Bobby. So don't ever forget this, that whoever, the kings of the earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed, they're telling a story, not the story. And unfortunately, we're reading the story they've written, not the real story. We're missing the truth. Church has missed the truth. White Christians don't even know how to talk to black Christians. They don't even know how to talk to them. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, one thing that I think we all, especially those in this queue here and listening to this program, we all need to keep in not the back of our minds, but in the front of our minds, is, you know, we have a tendency to get onto this thought pattern that, oh, if we could only let people see what we know, if we could only educate them to the point where they understand what we understand, all these problems would be fixed. But what we have to keep in mind, in the front of our minds, is the people that understand truth and the people that follow truth are always going to be in a minority. And it's the Bible that says that, not me.
Well, you just did say it, but the Bible does say it. That's where you heard it. That's your story. You're sticking to it. I'm with you. So again, folks, please understand that we are seeing the reaction to government media programming. What do all of us think of when we think inner city? And why do you think that? They have programmed us to think a certain way about the inner city. And when we think that way about the inner city, we're racist. Yes, yes or no, right? Isn't that what they program you to think of the inner city? And then when you express what you think of the inner city, they call you a racist for thinking
that? Spot on, Coach.
Yep.
Well, Dave, I just wanted to say, what was all in the news before this happened? It was Joe Biden talking about you're not black enough if you vote for Trump or whatever he said, like that.
Well, yeah.
Now this event happens. Now this reunites this, takes Joe Biden off the headlines and puts this on there, and now they have their distraction again.
Yeah, but you know, Chad, I think law-abiding Christian black people, I think they're starting to get it. I really think they're starting to get it. And we all agree that whether that guy was black or white, he didn't deserve what happened to him, nor did that old man in the nursing home deserve to get sucker punched by some 20-year-old black guy. Both of them are injustices. And you don't have to be black or white to make a strong value judgment on that, which, by the way, is part of where I'm trying to head this morning. Is the whole idea. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
You can't miss an opportunity here today. The word of the week has been stupid.
Yeah.
We're right back to it again. It all comes down to stupidity. I shared your letter yesterday, the commentary you wrote, over and over and over again yesterday. And the people loved it. Loved it. It was a hit for the day.
Mm-hmm. Because stupid is just ignoring facts. That's what makes you stupid. See, there's a difference between ignorance, not knowing something, and being stupid. Because when you're stupid, you refuse to look at the evidence. That's being stupid. Or you ignore the evidence. Or the big word is cognitive dissonance, right? Well, I'm just not going to believe that. Well, who told you that? Rush Limbaugh. That's stupid. That's stupid. Truth is truth. Facts are facts. Evidence is evidence, no matter who presents it. Now, you got to look at the evidence and then think twice, right? Got to look at it, say, who's the source, yada, yada, yada. But Right Wing Watch, they're going to put me up. The Right Wing Watch is stupid because they have an opinion about me and they won't look at the other side. And you're hanging around a lot of people who are the exact same way, right? Exact same way.
Hey, Coach,
I had a kid.
Let me ask Roger a question for a second here. Roger, when the evidence and the facts presented in a court of law don't go against one side or the other, what does that side try to do? They don't try to disprove the facts. They try to impugn the message giver.
If it doesn't fit, we must acquit, right? Yep. Why do you have to acquit if the glove doesn't fit? What do you mean? If it doesn't fit, we must acquit. Why? We don't think twice, do we? We don't think twice.
It's just advertising. That's what all that is.
Everybody knew OJ was guilty. Except blacks. They didn't think he was guilty. Why? Because they've been programmed.
Listen, the last 20, 30 years, the way the church has been acting, they were going to solve all these problems.
Yeah.
All this love amongst the people in the church pew, still as segregated as ever. You would think if the church was moving in the right direction the last 30 years, we would have the most intriguing church pew environment now as ever, so diversified. But yet, it is still, even with all of this love, the most segregated time in the country.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's just words. That's the problem. They're saying love, but not meaning it. You got to mean it.
Yeah, that comes back to thinking twice, doesn't it? So here you
hit the nail on the head when you said the father's not being in the home.
Right.
And where I really learned that at, Coach, when I worked at the boot camp down here at Sumter Prison, I was in the boot camp, average age 19 years old. I could have 100 of them come in fresh, and I'd say, hey, I want to show a hands of you guys. They really don't know your dads. You didn't live with them. You just know them indirectly. You wasn't raised by them. How many of you guys has committed the same crime as your dad, your granddad? Every hand go up, Coach. Generation of curses and sins of the forefathers has destroyed them.
Yes, it has.
They've been destroyed. No dads in the home, Coach. That's where it starts, right there.
And by the way, Lyndon Baines Johnson says we passed that Civil Rights Act and we'll have those niggas voting Democrats for 100 years. And then we said
200.
Yeah, 200 years.
Yep. And here we are. Here we are. Right.
There was a time frame where the federal government didn't prosecute under 21 of ages of children. Now they will throw an 18-year-old in a federal prison.
Yeah.
There was a time they didn't do that. They turned it over to the state.
What caused that? What brought that change about, Joe?
The war against drugs.
I get it. 18-year-old drug dealers went to the big house, huh?
Coach, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where there is not the Spirit of the Lord, there is no liberty.
It's tyranny. That's right, brother. Here's
a good example. Father and son looking at a car yesterday, and I just got done reading your commentary, and they come on the lot 5 minutes later. I was reading it when they walked in. So we go out and look at a car, a 2000 Toyota Camry, 20 years old. It is just, everything's good on it. Open and unlock the door, start the engine, it all sounds good. And they go over this thing, every feature on this car, trunk lid, gas lid clicker, the radio, the AC, the wipers, turn signal, son's out there checking them all, thumbs up on everything. They get through the whole thing. I stand there and didn't say a word. They get done, dad looks at me and says, "What do you think?" That 17-year-old boy says, "Well, it don't seem too bad." I said, "Hey, you just give it a 21-point inspection, and you're saying, not too bad." I said, "It's good."
And that's why
I went through the truth. I went through it. It was great, man. It's like, it was fun.
Did you sell it?
Believe it or not, this kid, now I'll give the kid credit. He's a pretty smart kid, but, you know, he still couldn't come to truth on this thing. The kid is 17, works at Walmart. The car's $3,000. So with tax and everything, he got about $3,400. This kid's got all the money. Dad didn't give him a penny. So the kid, it's kind of hard to turn it loose. So I give him the Dave Ramsey theory. No debt, no payments. You go to work every week and a car is paid for. This will run you the next 4 years. And I looked at him. I said, he's like, "Oh," he said, "can I get it for $3,000 out the door?" I said, "No." Ed put me down to $2,500 on the price. I said, "Buddy, I'm tired of losing money." He looked at me and I said, "I know that's like $1 million to you because you've been saving this money." And buddy, he's just standing there wringing his hands. I said, "You go home." I said, "You're a Christian?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You go home, you pray about it. But remember what I told you about the money, the months, the years, the paycheck. So you go and pray about it and come back and see me. They'll probably be back today."
Time to go to the county commissioners and see if they'll waive the sales tax. Then he can have it for that. That'd be the best place.
Yeah.
Listen, let me get to this. Let me get to this because it's going to kind of tie this whole thing together here real quick. Now, I'm loaded for bear this morning, man. I'm loaded for bear. But this is important. See, I look over at my notes. I'm sorry. Folks, we have moral problems in America. We have moral problems. We have no common system of ethics. Sheldon, do me a favor. Click on is it ethical or is it moral? Because, friends, those aren't the same things. Those are not the same things. We can't ask, is it moral? We now begin to ask, is it ethical? Why? Because morality, okay, up on the screen, this is Webster now, right? Is relating to the practice, manners, or conduct of men as social beings in relation to each other with reference to right and wrong. Wait a minute. See, what happens if you don't have right and wrong? What if you don't agree on right and wrong? You can be a moral person. You just have a different set of morals. I'm moral. I think murdering babies is okay. And I follow that standard. That's my morality. So I can't say to somebody, you believe in killing babies? That's immoral. I can't say that because morality is a standard of ethics that men have, excuse me, in their ability to be able to get together. The word moral is applicable to the actions that are good or evil, virtuous or vicious, and has reference to the law of God as a standard by which their character is to be determined. What if they don't have the same standard by which they judge right and wrong? So everyone, people who, this is the confusion that's coming to the church, homosexuality. Is it moral? Are we to welcome homosexuals into the church? See, it becomes a morality problem because some Christians will say, well, it's moral to accept everyone. It's moral to be tolerant. It's moral to be diverse. It's moral not to judge. And then you got another guy who's reading the same Bible. It says, no, it's immoral to put up with sin, to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's immoral to have sex outside of marriage. It's immoral for a man and a man to have sex. Do you see the problem, folks? So it's what we are dealing with is not a lack of morals. We have got to stop saying that we have just become an immoral nation. That's not true. We have lost the standard of morality. Because there is no standard of morality, we have no common moral basis upon which we stand. So the word that we need to begin to use more and more, Sheldon, if you can, type in ethics. Ethics. Ethical standard. What is ethics? Ethics is a system of moral principles. A system of rules for regulating the actions and manners of men in society. The first part says the doctrines of morality or social manners, the science of moral philosophy, which teaches men their duty and the reasons of it. So in America, in the United States of America, we have got to move beyond the word morality because morality changes from person to person. From church to church, from religion to religion, from Walmart to wherever. But ethics is what? It's a system of moral principles by which we will all agree. That's our problem in America. We have no ethics. We have no ethical system by which we all stand together. None. And as a result, we have what we call a legal system, but not a justice system, because everyone is doing what the Bible says is right in their own eyes. You want to start a fight? I had three emails last week. Somebody, three different times, people emailed me and said, hey, I was watching one of your videos. What do you think about interracial marriage? Oh, boy. Here we go, right? Here we go.
Quote Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, well. You get the point, though, right? I would go by the ethical standard of what this. I don't know. Hey, folks, listen. The Bible actually taught slavery. Slavery came from the Bible. Read the Bible. Slavery's in the Bible. I ain't for slavery, okay? I'm a bond servant, so I am for voluntary in slavery. I'm for that, right? But without an ethical standard saying, see, folks, understand, the southern white men Their moral standard was blacks are not equal. That was their moral standard, and they believed it. They didn't believe they were human beings.
Hey, Coach, you sure you don't want me to get into whatever you get into today? Because this is it.
Well, yeah, but don't take over my show. Just kidding. Go ahead.
I don't want to take over your show, brother.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Hang on, Vinny. Okay. Hang on, Vinny. So the battle then became the North said, listen, blacks are human beings. We need to treat them ethically. Every human being ethically needs to be treated the same. The South said, no, they're not human beings. We don't have to treat them the same. So the problem wasn't a moral issue. It was an ethical issue, a set of common rules that we're all going to agree by. And Ohio and Michigan and Pennsylvania said, we are not going to have slaves. Ethically, it's wrong. And the South said, well, you're no moral than us. We think slavery's okay. They're not human beings. So the problem was not a moral problem. It was an ethical problem. Go ahead, Vinny.
Okay, so it's very simple. What if I were to tell you that the rapes of white women and girls in the South were not performed by black men, but performed by people masquerading as white people, and that they used the justice system to do a judicial lynching of black people? It was an official thing, and what it did is swage white outrage, and it set up black hatred of white people, but black people and white people had nothing to do with anything, and it was the synagogue of Satan orchestrating the whole thing behind the scenes. Judicial system, it's a criminal system of justice, and only criminals benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
I can continue more, but like I said, I'm not taking over your show, Coach.
No. So the point, that's the point that I'm making. So how can you, okay, let's make this very simple. Can somebody tell me why we should not ordain homosexuals? Can somebody tell me why? Let's go to morality now. Let's go to morality.
They're too easily suborned, Coach.
Pardon me?
They're too easily suborned.
Well,
like McGreevy in Jersey. Remember, he had the little assistant. The little assistant was working for Israel. It's another country. It's not American. Right, we can't have dual citizens.
Yeah, Vinny, you're missing my point. I'm sorry. Your point's good, but you're missing my point. My point is Roger Weaver's church, just using a guy example here, Roger Weaver's church says we will not ordain homosexuals because it violates God's law. That's a moral standard.
That's probably what I should just say.
And other churches will say, well, we will ordain homosexuals because they are all God's children. That is a moral standard as well. So we have a church, body of Christ, confused on morality. And because we're confused on morality, we have no ethical standard in regards to homosexuality. Yes, we do have an ethical standard. The ethical standard has become, the Supreme Court said, homosexuals are equal human beings, and that became the morality. Unfortunately, there are millions of people sitting in the church who still think morally homosexuality is wrong, yet ethically they're being forced to accept it. Do you see the dilemma? Do you see the problem? And so the church can't be effective because the church can't agree on ethics, not morality, ethics.
Coach, can I throw this out there?
Sure.
We have a two-tier system in the United States.
At least two.
We got a two-tier system in our legal system, our churches, our humanity where we live at. You got legal system that depends on your status, on mm-hmm. how you get treated. You got our churches, how big your church is, like Joe Salison's church versus a podunk church down in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they going to see the morality? When you talk about morality, who are they going to take the morals from? Are they going to take it for a podunk church, or are they going to take it from a Joe Salison?
That's right.
Another question in the equation is this. Is so many, quote, moral stands are based on untrue facts.
Very good point. Very good. Larry, boy, oh, but my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Very, very true. Larry, how about this? Folks, here's the moral ethical standard right in front of us. We have people, pastors, churches who will say that it is the moral thing to close down our churches during this pandemic. They have that moral opinion. And then there are other pastors who have the moral opinion. No, we need to stand up against the tyrannical arm of government. Now, which moral standard is true? That's our dilemma.
Well, the problem is, coaches, it's not about opinions. It's about convictions. You know, what is it that God has said? It's not about opinions. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple of them, and most of them stink. Mm-hmm. My question is, back to this pandemic, where are all the rats and rat out people in the news? Why are they not over there saying, look, these people don't have masks. We need to arrest them. If we're going to arrest moms in parks, we need to arrest these people who don't have masks on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the point Sarah Brady made the other day, wasn't it? That was the exact same point. She said the manner in which it was being enforced. See, folks, that's what. Please see this. This started in the church. The church is the one who began to compromise the ethical standard. The church compromised it. And when the church began to compromise the ethical truth, well, why would we not expect the world to begin to compromise the ethical truth? My body, my choice. Who are you to tell me what I can do with my body? Because why? Because Jesus loves you so much and he has the most wonderful plan for your life. And the wonderful plan for your life is you messed up your plan when you got pregnant, but he has a wonderful plan for you. You can get right back on track if you just murder your baby. It all started in the church, see? All of it did.
Started in the home, coach. Started in the home.
A lot of this stuff ties together, coach.
What's that? Good, Craig. Go ahead, brother. I didn't hear you. Somebody else. Am I still live here? Am I still live?
Yeah, you're still live. You know,
go ahead, Mark.
It all boils down to understanding simple truth from God's word. For example, a lot of churches base a lot of their, quote, moral beliefs and everything on the false premise that everybody's God's child, that everybody is a child of God.
Amen. That's right.
And that lie has produced so much error in so many satanic social clubs that has caused so much harm that one little simple lie, you can lay the blame of a whole bunch of our society's problems on that one lie.
So can somebody give me the ethical and moral? They're not the same. The ethical and moral position on, are you ready? The paying of your income taxes. Can somebody give me the moral and ethical position on it? Can anybody give me an ethical reason why you should be forced to pay taxes to support things against your conscience? Can anybody give me a moral or ethical standard for why we should do that?
Absolutely not.
Nope.
No.
Hey, coach, Jesus paid his taxes.
Pardon me?
Jesus paid his taxes.
Did you ever read Luke?
He had a fish, right? He sent someone to get fish, the coin out of the fish, but he paid the tax.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
What type of tax?
I'm looking for it right now. Anyway, hey, let me ask you something. Would Jesus have paid that tax to abortion?
He sent it to the Roman army. He sent it to the Roman army. They did injustice. I'm just saying, I don't think he approved of it. Don't get me wrong. I just think he was coming from it from a different angle. He was coming from the heart and teaching.
No. Jesus paid his taxes. I'm sorry, folks. Jesus paid his taxes because he didn't want to be crucified for not paying taxes. That would have given him a reason to do it. But I'm looking for it right here in Luke 20, where Jesus said, we don't pay taxes. Anyway, listen, I'll find it, Craig. I don't want that to be the issue. Here's the point I'm trying to make. You will run into people who will say, well, it's your moral duty to pay taxes. And I'm going to say, well, it's my moral duty not to pay taxes because they are killing babies with it. You see the dilemma? You see the dilemma? Which one is it?
You know who paid the taxes for Jesus and his merry little band? The fish.
The fish did. It says in here, I'm sure it's in Luke. Where is it here? Where is it? Daggone, Jared's got it up there on the screen. I want to make sure. Boy, now you're all going to think I'm a rebel. I don't care. Jesus said, who pays? No, that's not it. I always have it under. Daggone it! No. Trust me, Craig.
Coach. You know, yes. I talk to pastors. They get the 501c3 because Jesus said, "Give which is God and give which now, is
Jesus." Listen. Let me stop you real quick on this, Jeff, because I'm about out of time. People take on the 501c3 because they don't know any better. They don't know any better. When I first went into ministry, people said, "You got to have one. You got to have to have a 501c." Guys start churches. Same thing. They tell them you have to. So a lot of it's run out of ignorance. I'm sorry, Jeff. Didn't mean to walk on you, but I just know that. No, render unto Caesar. Oh my.
Luke 20:20.
Thank you. Luke 20:20. Is that right? I need to do a teaching on this. I need to do a teaching on it. Luke. No. That's not it, Dale. Hey, folks. When Jesus in Romans 13. When he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, he was asking a question. If you think it belongs to Caesar, give it to him. Render unto Caesar that which belongs. Hey, let me ask you something. Who owns all the money? Can anybody tell me that? Who owns the money? Caesar or Jesus?
That's so funny. Yeah.
Got him. You can't get enough people together to stick together to do anything about it. That's the sick problem right there.
And it's exactly how they're. Oh, I cannot believe I can't. I wanted to believe it's in Luke. Maybe it's in Mark. I'm going to have an overtime show here if I find it.
Can you say lack of unity?
Yeah, lack of unity. That's right.
Well, it isn't.
There's Matthew 7, the issue of
unity of his people paramount, but yet we are so divided. Color skin wise in the church, there is no unity.
There it is, Matthew 17. Thank you. Verse
25. 24 through 27.
Attaboy. Thanks, Craig. Matthew 17. Go to verse 24. I got 3 minutes to make this point. Hey, I pay my taxes. And duress. 24. And when they were coming to Capernaum, they that received the tax collectors came to Jesus. Is this King James? Yeah, it is. Okay, yes, it is. And when they came and said, hey, does your master pay taxes? Peter said, why, he sure does. He's a good Christian. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him. He said, hey, Pete, come here. Come here, Pete. What do you think, Peter? Of whom do the kings of the earth take customer tribute? He said, do the kings charge taxes of their own children or of strangers? And Peter says, why, Lord, of strangers. And Jesus said, And the children are free. See, folks, the income tax system was set up to charge non-Americans.
Exactly.
Non-Americans. Americans didn't have to pay income taxes. They paid surcharges. They paid sales taxes. They did not have to pay income to the king. Why? The king's children are free. The American system of government was set up. There was no income tax.
Not until 1913.
Until 1913. And right there, folks, look at, now wait a minute. Let me finish. 27. Oh, I'm about out of time. Verse 27, Jesus said, okay, notwithstanding, we don't want to offend them. I don't want to go to jail for not paying taxes, Peter said. So because we don't want to offend them, go out there to the sea, cast a hook, catch a fish. You're going to be a big coin in there. You go give it to them. But I ain't giving them nothing. That's what I, that's the way I read it. So again, it comes back to, that's an ethical thing, isn't it? It's ethical. I say it's unethical for them to take money from me to kill babies. I think that's unethical. I think it's immoral. But the ethical standard in America is everybody pays taxes. Well, I didn't vote on that. I didn't vote on it. They're doing it against my will. I pay my taxes. Got to run. Have a great weekend. Yes, I'll be here Sunday morning. We'll have a truth inspection. And wow, what a time to be alive. Bless you. We'll see you.